Hello, and welcome to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. Well, another week has gone by, and Wolves still waiting for a victory. Brighton were the visitors last Saturday, and unfortunately, Wolves suffered another defeat after the optimism of the draw against Brentford the previous week. So this week I have James Kilcoyne, Mick McQuillan, Gary Cotter, Tony Cullen, and myself to have a chat about the last couple of weeks and how Wolves are going. Good evening.
Hello.
Tony, good evening, Michael. How are you?
Well,
all good.
You look snug there, Mick.
I am, yep, sitting nice back here. A fire on. What a day. It's been raining all day.
Probably worse up in Cavan, is it?
Oh, it's lashing here since.
It'll be worse than Roscommon.
We invited James tonight since he was over on Saturday, so he says, give him a shout. I was just about starting it here, and I had a blooming Zoom, an update for Zoom, so that's what delayed me. I had to go in and do all that, and I couldn't remember my password and all the usual. It got there.
Well, it's a long time since I was on it as well. It wouldn't actually let me into it. I had to put in the password and ID. Usually you just press the link and said my browser isn't supported. That's on the phone.
Yeah, so, sure.
During COVID, we were all in on it.
Oh, I know, yeah, but we'll be on it every week or so, you know. Anyway, good to see you all after Saturday, after our trials and tribulations, and then we had the trains as well. I was going to ask you, I know Mick and Gary had fairly big adventures getting to Brentford Saturday week, so I was going to ask you about them first so that people will know the lengths we're going to get to games. Mick, I suppose you start out with the ferry trip.
Oh, it started fairly different. That started well when they had to change the boat. And then, of course, that was a half an hour or so late taken away. And we missed the direct train at 10 to 7 to London. And that set us on the path of Avanti, the worst rail company in the world. You know, they're absolutely. So, lucky enough, I got there. It was 10 minutes to kick off, you know, after leaving home the previous night at 10 o'clock.
You had the tickets as well, didn't you?
I had the tickets, yeah.
Mick, ten minutes to kick off is an exaggeration. I'd say fucking 1 minute to kick off.
Well, you're probably right there, Gary. You were watching the clock, I wasn't.
Yeah.
I had the tickets.
Was that Mick down to a lot of the strikes then? Was it the rail strikes? Was it all of it?
Look at the trains, the certain, particularly the Avanti trains in around the Midlands, that area, you just cannot rely on them.
Yeah. But I suppose the main reason, Mick, you were on the boat was because of the flight, cost of the flights, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was horrible, the price of it. But
have they gone up a lot, to have you?
No, it was just that for the last couple of weekends, maybe it's bank holidays or whatever it is, they were expelled. This weekend is very, very expensive. Just to try and get back.
Yeah.
I don't think on. Yes, so focus.
When I was over at the Forest game a few weeks ago, when I got on the train from the airport, I was talking to this couple in front of me, and they were coming from Kent, and they were just saying I only got up at around 7:30 because my flight was 9:10 from Knock, which was only a few miles from me. But anyways, they were saying they were on the road since 7:30. Imagine. But the comment he made, he said, this is actually the first train this season that hasn't had any disruptions so far, with the few different connections he's to get. I thought that was unbelievable, like, you know.
Yeah.
He just said it's a nightmare every second Saturday.
Well, we've had it since the start of the season, plus with trains, plus we've had it with flights as well, you know, particularly in the evenings coming home, like it's been a freaking nightmare again last Saturday. But Gary, you took the more adventurous route to Edinburgh, didn't you, for the Brentford game?
Yeah, well, what happened, like, the background was we couldn't really rely on getting a ticket for Brentford until the lottery.
Yeah.
So I hadn't booked anything as such, like, but once it was pretty clear we had a ticket, I went about looking, and Mick was right, the prices on the Friday were horrendous because of the bank holiday.
Yeah.
And early, and from what I could tell, early Saturday morning as well. So the only good thing was there was a fierce cheap flight back on the Saturday night after the game. So it was worth making the effort. So I decided on traveling on Thursday, and I did 2 days in Edinburgh, and then I don't know, 50 euro flight type of thing, and did the 2 days in Edinburgh, and then flew down Edinburgh to Gatwick on Saturday morning. But it was only then really got messy, because the standard route would be Gatwick, Clapham Junction, Kew Bridge, and as soon as we got to Gatwick, it was every station looked all right except Clapham Junction. He said, "Please inquire," and no direct trains to Clapham Junction today. You know, you've got to go to East Croydon. Went to East Croydon. Can't go to Victoria direct today.
Jeez.
Oh, it was very messy. Like, you know, it was, eventually we got there in the end, but and of course on tenterhooks. Then Mick, where are you now, Mick?
We need to set up our own little kind of air traffic control system.
I got into Houston at 2 o'clock, and I said to your man, I said, I want to get the tram up to that's as they're going down, you know, you can't get across that way. I want to go this, we won't there. I said, that doesn't get in till 3:30. So I said, fuck it. That's what I said to him. I get a fucking taxi. And that's what I done. I just thanks Gary just said it. I said it'd be there at 2:45, but it certainly was 2:55 anyway to get it got there.
Come on, Gary, say right, 1 minute. Will you just agree on the time, lads, will you? Was it 5 there or was it a minute there or what?
Put it this way, when we took our seats, the game was underway. Certainly.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh well, that Chrissy probably made you have a point then before the match, did he?
No chance.
Oh Jesus, that was the end of sort of Christie. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but
it was either us or the bar.
But the I suppose the two of you were at the game. The overall, what did you think of the Brentford game? Just quick before we go into Brighton,
I thought it was a fighting performance, one of the better ones. And we talked about it Saturday, actually, about how Pedence had one of his better games. Most things seemed to come off for him, except that one that we still marvel at when he got to the... beat everyone, got to the byline, and then the ball ran over the end. Like, it was a strange one, that one. But, he had one of his better games, and I thought it was definitely... You could see the way Brentford were playing. They didn't change anything. He was relying on the long throw and the free kicks and the corners. Yeah. And they made no apologies for it. Like that was the game plan, and they stuck to it. And it was disappointing when we went behind. But I felt overall definitely worth a point.
Yeah.
If we'd sneaked a win there, it wouldn't have been any, you know, it wouldn't have been any injustice.
No. And Mick, what were your thoughts on the Brentford game overall?
Well, I thought it's pretty similar to Gary's there. I thought we had the goal behind probably when we shouldn't have, but we fought back and we kept going for the whole game, and we always had a chance of winning it.
Yeah.
And I just thought that we snuffed them out fairly well, and overall I was happy. I said, but then I thought pretty well. I thought what to call it, even Traore's become a better team player. Yeah. But you don't get the full 90 minutes out of him. But the one fella that did disappoint me, I know he hasn't played for a good while, but was Costa. Like he had two good chances.
Yeah.
And you know, he messed there. And then, you know, I'd say the two laughable instances was we got a corner in the second half and we brought Fidence on. And I just said to Gary, this is great. I said, we'll bring it on a 5'7" lad for the corner. You know, little did I realise he almost scored from the fucking volley.
Yeah.
And then Gary had his couple's worth later on. You can fill him in that one, Gary.
were telling us this on Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, I just happened to, in around the 90-minute mark, and I said, Jesus, isn't it great Costa got, we got 90 minutes out of Costa. Fucking 10 seconds later, he got the red card. But, I was looking forward to the next game with him in it, you know, having had 90 minutes under his belt, but it wasn't to be then.
Yeah, it was, that was it. You can't even describe how stupid it was, like, you know. You know, there's probably a case that...
To be fair, I will say, though, just on Costin, everyone is, you know, look, it looks to be like a rush decision to bring him in when there was no one else there. And, like, he looks to be giving everything every match. He's fucking trying very hard. For someone that hasn't played football for a while.
Definitely getting better.
Just remember, he hasn't played, and the shots he wouldn't have missed those a couple of years ago, Mick. When he was playing,
I think we brought him in to score goals, but I will say one thing. he's been very good defending corners for us.
Yeah, because he
can win balls in the air. He's won a couple of very, very good balls at the edge of that box. And I'll give him that, you know what I mean? So
but
I think,
his work rate, in matches, considering like the amount of time he's been out of the game,
yeah,
like you have to admire it. He's fucking fairly putting in the shift.
Yeah, but yes,
it was
I think
this red card. Yeah. He was pulled, he was pushed in, he was brought into it, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Your man knew what he was doing and got him fucking
Well, he should have been shown a bit more experience himself and avoiding the situation.
But exactly.
I think, overall, he's gone now for another two matches, but I think overall he's given us a kind of a focal point up front, you know, that as a kind of a target man, but he's given us a bit more than that. But
we don't have anyone up front. We don't have a target man. The biggest problem on Saturday was, you know, like so much fucking high ball going into a small Pedence. Like, come on, he's not.
Yeah.
Pedence is a fantastic player. I love him. I just think he's so skillful, so nippy. He jiggle around players. He's clinical. But you can't be pumping high ball into him.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of that went on. A lot of high ball went in. You know, he's not a target player. Like, Jimenez is a huge loss there.
Yeah.
I suppose Costa was filling the space there. I don't know what's going to line out next Saturday.
Yeah.
Just, I suppose the quicker the fucking break comes, the better. That they can everyone back and really analyse and bring someone else in January if needed. But
yeah. But the just want to move on to last Saturday's game, then the Brighton game. I suppose, Tony, we'll let you have a word on what you thought of the game and overall against Brighton on Saturday.
Well, I thought we started off kind of decent, but Brighton gradually took over, and I suppose I was a bit disappointed we didn't have more control or possession of the game. And then we were one down fairly quickly, I think after about 7 or 8 minutes. I think we could have been another goal down before that. But we just, I know the sending off changed the game, but I just didn't think we controlled the game anywhere near as much as we had controlled other games. I know we hadn't scored, but then we were 2-1 up. And I don't know whether he was going to take Semedo off at half-time because he was having a horrendous game. Everything he did was, he was just wandering around. I was watching him when Brighton were attacking after he'd been up the field attacking himself. He was just wandering back.
Yeah, yeah.
Got out-jumped by a small Japanese player for the goal.
Yeah.
And then he got himself a red card for thinking he was in Lansdowne Road. And he should have, if he knew he wasn't going to get near the ball, he should have cleaned your man out before he even got near the box.
Yeah.
And then, okay, would have got a yellow, but it would have got us through to half time.
Yeah.
I don't know, probably it was 2-2 that stage, wasn't it? Or they scored after that, didn't they?
No, they scored after that, yeah.
Yeah, so, and the second half, we were just hanging on, obviously. We were, first time I've seen a home team time wasting. And I really thought we'd hold on for the draw, but Brighton are decent, you know, they didn't.
Yeah.
They weren't even as good in the second half as they were in the first half against 10 men. So I suppose I was disappointed to score two goals at home and not win. But I do think the sending off changed the game hugely for both sides, really.
Yeah. Mick, what were your thoughts on Saturday?
I thought it was quite a good performance. I didn't expect anything from the game because Brighton are a fairly good side.
Yeah, yeah.
They're picking up some very good results. They put forward by Chelsea the previous week. But I was surprised. I thought we matched it with a lot of players. But we do have problems. With the way we're playing the forward, the back, the lads there, they're struggling at the moment, the two centre-backs together. They played 1-2 and got through it. That's two or three times this year they've done it.
Yeah.
That's how you get through a flat-back forward. It was a good one-two touch for that. Yeah, definitely Semedo should have done better for the cross ball. But if you look at it again, what happened, Dance let his man go out to the box. He put his hand on his head after he seen the ball. The man put the ball in, took the Semedo pretty much over it, and it went the back of the net. But look, as I've said many a time, you know, if you're going to play wing backs as full backs, you're going to get trouble, and that's what's happening. And Lopetegui, if that's what he wants to play, he's got to get in two full backs because we don't have Johnny. Hasn't been the same player since we went back
since
to full backs. They're wing backs, and that's what I was saying. That Collins and Gilman didn't have a great game, but look at the confidence is gone completely.
Yeah. The only thing I think with Semedo, though, Mick, is just that's off the top of my head. I think that's three games now, thinking Chelsea, Palace, and on Saturday, where he's let a player get the better of him on the far post from a, you know, from nothing spectacular cross, but we conceded just before half time against Chelsea.
But Tony, they're all happening in the same spot. Is it a good fullback there? That wouldn't happen. But he's, but not, I mean, he's a wing back. Johnny's the same. Johnny's been caught at the same time. I don't blame the players. They're not that player. But he certainly, if the man coming in will have the spot, if he's gone with forward or back, he has to get two full backs in. Because you cannot, we keep talking about the same mistakes because we keep putting in wing backs in full backs position. And that's what I see what's happening in defence. And they don't know what they're at. But
you should make a player. A player should be learning. A player should be learning week on week.
No, it's not learning, Tony. It's a, if you bring, if a fella is a fucking wing back, he's a wing back. But you take Soyuz, you take the, when we were playing three at the back, that wasn't happening at the backs because the boys were covered in that area. And it's just, he doesn't have that physique. He's a fickle wing back. He gets forward with the ball.
He's a big lad, you know, Mick. I mean? He's been taller than the players that have beaten him in the air for the ball to come in.
It doesn't matter. It can be a big fella and put him up centre forward and still not fucking win a ball. You know what I mean? But that's
he won't be a centre forward for long now, Mick, if you do that. If he doesn't win the ball.
We've 14 or 15 goals conceded now, and it's alarming. And that's what's happening.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of basic mistakes like that, and it doesn't matter whether you're a wing back, full back, centre half, midfielder. You know, I mean, you have to defend in the air as much as on the ground. You know, but anyway,
that's not what defence, Tony, is being aware of what's around, what the dangers are around. The full backs know that their first job is defending. Wing backs is to get up the line.
Well, we bought him as a full back.
We bought him as a wing back
from Barcelona.
He was a full back at Barcelona.
Sonia.
Which?
He was a full back at Barcelona.
He played most of his game as the way on wide and the right with Barcelona.
Aye. Well, they probably got rid of him.
Right, well. Anyway, Gary, what were your thoughts on the game?
Well, the overriding feeling I had coming away from the game was that Brighton were better than us, which is kind of disappointing at this stage of our lives. If you compare that to, say, I didn't feel like that after Leicester, even though we lost 4-0. I felt we actually were equal to Leicester. On the day they were more clinical and the game plan worked, but I didn't go away feeling that Leicester were way, you know, four goals better than us.
Yeah,
I felt that Brighton were actually more than one goal better than us, you know. That's the way they were. And that was without seeing any stats. And then if you look at the stats after, it turned out 70-30, like, or 71-29 to Brighton. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't believe that. Like, you know, and whereas compared to Leicester, it was 70-30 to us.
Yeah.
You know? So look, it was an entertaining game, but I think it's been typical of Davis. I think we progressively got that little bit worse in each game under Davis. I think we're very open. I thought we were very open on, very susceptible on Saturday in particular.
Yeah, so, we've been conceding more goals in the last few games.
We had got ourselves into position, you know, get 2-1 up at home. You think you could get something out of it, but look, we didn't.
So, no, because the guy sitting next to me said to me, when we were 2-1 up, and, you know, just before halftime, a few minutes before half, before Semedo was sent off, and he said to me, kind of, you know, do you think we'll hold on? I said, I can't see us getting to halftime 2-1 up, never mind the end of the game, the way Brighton were playing, you know. So, you know, then the red card, and then they got I don't know, you go into games sometimes with the best of feelings that you're going to get something, and, you know, but your gut is telling you that it just wasn't, like, as you say, Brighton 70-30, possession. I think with Leicester, it was something like 55-45 or something. There was more of a balance.
But lads, you've got to look at the difference in quality is the same. Like, Brighton are a very, very good side this year. They're a very good side. They put four by Chelsea the previous week. They were put three by, what do you call it, Milan. But they are a very, very good side.
Yeah.
They have a fairly settled side. So, that, like, Leicester are at the bottom of the table. That's why we probably have more possession. What you call it again, Leicester. So you have to look horses for courses here. But I definitely didn't think going into that game on Saturday, I didn't think we'd get anything out of it. I was surprised that we were so close to it. And, you know, I thought we'd done well for lots of the second half there with the one man down. And as someone said next to me, he said, we should be used to it now. He says, we normally have Costa playing with us. So we're already one man down before he kick off in any game so far. Played it, you know.
Yeah, it's something that's happened us all right. A couple of times this season. I mean, it's had three red cards this season we've had. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, the Costa one probably didn't impact.
Didn't impact on the result
at the end.
No. But kind of, you know, I think we're probably unfortunately we're more in need of points now than you know how games are looking. Games are going past fairly quick, even though we've a break coming up. But I
thought only something on Saturday, which was a good thing. Gretis had his best game since he came for us, and he has pushed them all forward, and he looked very, very good on Saturday. I said all along he's not been played in his proper position, and that takes time when you don't have, you know, we're suffering from what we've done. We got rid of Cody, we got rid of Suisse, and that should never be criminal, and that's what we're paying the price, and he's got to fix that when he comes in, this manager, you know.
He's a lot of things to fix, Mick. Sorry, James, what your thoughts on the game on Saturday before we get into any more detail?
I suppose from the outset, I would have thought this was, you know, this is what it was. What it was, it was a very difficult game. But I was expecting nothing but a very difficult game, as we all adhered to Brighton are decent. And they're more than a decent side. They're a top six, top seven side.
Yeah.
So, to be fair, you'd feel like you'd have a better chance of getting more points against Leicester than Brighton or any other team, you know. So, and I don't think Leicester should be where they are on the table. That's the kind of concern long term. Like, I don't believe we should be where we are with the quality of the players we have.
Yeah.
I know I'm not going on Saturday yet. Like, when you look at worst teams in the past, there was nearly a relegation battle before the season would start when you're in the Premier League. We didn't have the quality we have today. So it's very disappointing that we are there.
Yeah.
But going back to Saturday, yeah, I would have been happy with a point before the match, to be quite honest about it.
Yeah.
Semedo cost us the game. There's no question about it. Sending off was reckless, stupid. And he was poor up to that day, up to that moment in the game. So it's a pity he wasn't substituted. And like, there's, you know, it's like he is responsible for us getting nothing out of that game. I thought we might we were going to hold on, to be honest with it. And you're right, Brighton weren't as good in the second half, funny enough. I definitely thought, you know, at that stage, you know, we would hold on for 2-2. They didn't seem to be as threatened as they were in the first half.
I think he could be
something that could just unleash here with a run and get in there. He did in one or two occasions. But look, the goal we conceded was a terrible mistake, you know.
Yeah.
And then obviously the sending off, we all know about that. I think we're making lots of mistakes. Collins and Kidman are making a lot of mistakes. You know, I'm very disappointed. Mm. I'm disappointed. Collins isn't playing well, really. I think he's doing reckless fucking challenges. Like, you know, there was a ball that swung into the box there. But they're a winning goal. Like, he should have fucking got that.
Yeah.
And it went right across the face to goal. Like, fucking terrible stuff, you know. So,
well, the winning goal almost...
When it went to 81 or 82, I thought we were going to hold out.
Yeah.
I didn't think Brighton were going to score. But, like, they always looked fucking dangerous when we went forward. All know that. Every time Brighton go forward, they're very dangerous. And certainly in the first 10, 15 minutes was very worrying. But certainly when we're 1-0 down. Yeah. Thankfully, we responded quite quickly after. But as a few of you had said there a while ago, it could easily have been 2 or 3-0 down. We got into the game, settled it down. I just think the team is a game of confidence, really. The quality of the players, that's why the break can't come quick enough. The new manager to come in, get a bit of confidence installed, his own ways of playing. I do firmly believe that Wolves will be a different side in the new year. I think they just have to put it behind them. And from their point of view, it's a clean slate for everybody. And, you know, there's enough points to be got with the second half of the season to get out of this fucking mess, because... You know, there's one man that's made the mess. I know you'd all hear that, like, oh, it's a terrible mess. And with some of the players that have been let go, like, you know, like the Dan Donker, you saw him the weekend for Villa. You know what I mean? Like, it's a bit of fucking toughness there in the middle. We're just missing that, you know? I'm reading. Everyone is ranting about this, that, and the other. But certainly, like, what's been brought in, you know, there is genuine problems. You know, when you see where we were a few years ago, like, we've gone just totally back. Mm. That's what's disappointing. Usually, you know, you try and maintain what you have and the positive build again, but certainly not totally drop off. So confidence is a problem too. Like, when you're not winning games, you know, I will say Wolves are playing well in most games. So, like, you know, you've seen Wolves teams, and Mick, no more than Mick, following them all your life and going to games not longer than I am, because you're obviously older than Mick. But like you'd have seen Wolves teams over the years, and you'd be lucky to get a point in some games and hanging on. But the quality of players that's there now. And, like, unfortunately, like the Leicester game, I thought we played very well in that game.
Yeah.
And that's 4-0. The scoreline doesn't reflect it one bit. Confidence is at an all low.
Yeah.
And I think Tony said there, like, You know, the problem I have in every game is who's going to score, where the goal is going to come from. Yeah. The Wolves aren't scoring any more than a goal or two a game. A goal, really, the way, on the average, yeah, if we do get one. And we got two. And like, if you were to be told we're going to score two goals against Brighton, yeah, I've said, well, geez, we're going to win that. Yeah. I'm starting to get something against.
Did the young fella enjoy his trip over?
He had a great time, yeah. He's in having his Cocoa Pops there now. He did, yeah. He had a great time. It was fantastic. Well done. It was, like, I think it was, when I went to book the ticket for £15, it came up under his one. It just flashed up, the My Wolves, my first match, even though technically it wasn't his first match. But, like,
we won't say
they got a scarf, a lovely, the box of summer, it's supposed to be down his room, the picture frame. The pictures were sent, actually emailed to me today, because you had to sign a consent form for the photos.
Yeah.
But they had an hour and 10 of a tour and a lap of honour around the pitch, on the outside of the pitch. We got pictures taken on the pitch side, and they had their photographer that came in with Windy and Wolfie and Windy. And then they went to the fan zone at the end.
Yeah.
So that was, it was all over around 25 past two, and they brought them all up on the stage and asked them a few questions and all that, where they were from and their players. And as much as he's probably listening to me, he's a Liverpool man. He was politically correct. He said, oh, I look, you know, he was all Wolves, and his favourite player was, he was asked that, Josie Sa. And so he played a blinder.
Ah, good stuff. he didn't let the mask slip.
He didn't. No. But he enjoyed it. He's gone to two games now in 3 weeks. For him, like a Premiership game, and he brought the program into the school today.
Right.
And he got most of the autographs. See, the thing is, the Wolves team were staying in our hotel, and he was in his element. We went back after we met with G. We went back to the hotel, and he got pictures with some. Put up some of them. He got pictures with Traore, Collins, and loads of them, autographs. So they were fantastic, you know.
Good stuff.
And even, like, Steve Davis was there, actually. He was the first I noticed. I was sitting down having a coffee. And
yeah.
I just looked over. And in fairness, I just said to him, because I said, yeah, that is Steve Davis, yeah. And he could see me saying that. And he got up and walked straight over. I was, you know, making a scene. And he came over and chanted, got a picture with him, yeah.
Ah, good stuff.
Seems a nice lad, you know. And for him, I suppose, it's for Steve Davis, it's a big thing. In charge of the team for these few matches, but
you want to get results,
and you know, look, I suppose everyone knows who's coming in now, and there'll be probably a different sort of discipline now as well.
Just on that subject, as we found out on Saturday, you know, that where Lopetegui is finally has he signed yet? But he's on the way. Gary, what do you think?
No work.
The next
permit,
few weeks hold.
He's no work permit yet.
Well. He'll have one. I'm sure he's gonna. There seems to be a plan laid out anyway that he's coming in. The coach is coming in this week, and he's going to be over there before the match on Saturday against Arsenal. So,
is he? All right, okay.
That's the word anyway. Mick, you probably know, do you?
Well, the coaches are in tomorrow.
Yeah.
Anyway, and they're taking the charge of a lot of stuff. He has been watching a lot of games, and he's in on Friday, I think, or Saturday, but he has. But in fairness, he's got $100 million to spend in January if he needs it.
Yeah.
So he's been well backed on that line. You know, said weeks ago it was always on the cards it was going to happen. But provided we were prepared to wait till he was ready to come in. But I think it looks fairly good. But he certainly needs a couple of players, and I think he will be the right man to get them because he spent most of his time in, you know, underage Spanish football up to under 23, isn't that? And the other, he knows a lot of people, and the type of player he's after, he will have identified him, you know what I mean? Needs, you know.
All right, mate. Gary, what's your thoughts on the new man coming in?
I'm pleased it's been resolved. I don't doubt his CV type of thing, you know. I'm glad it's kind of sorted, and yeah, I'd be hopeful that he'll, especially if he's got the kind of money that Mick's referring to there.
Yeah.
It'd be great to see how things pan out there in the next couple of months. I'm looking forward to it. I'll be behind him all the way.
Yeah. Tony, what's your thoughts on the new man?
Yeah, I'm hopeful that he can come in and do a job. Just worried about Arsenal now on Saturday. They look good yesterday when I saw bits of them. But I think if he's $100 million to spend or more, he should be able to get the problems sorted out in the team.
Yeah.
But it's hard to get fellas.
In January.
In January, you know.
Yeah. I think
it is Tony. But that's what I think. He knows so many people, players over the years have all played with him. And that, so he'd be able to, even if it's someone he gets in on loan to nail up. That's why I think. But I'll tell you, his first six or seven games is horrendous. He's all about
that.
Well, Mick, that, in fairness, Mick, that's my fear that you know, and even I hear people talking like as if that, you know, when he comes along, we're starting the season again, you know? Like, we're going to have 15 games behind us by the time he comes in. You know, as I say, Everton away, United at home, we have West Ham, Villa, you know, in January.
Liverpool.
Yeah, you know, and Liverpool twice probably, and depending on when that refix game is going to be. You know, so that's my fear is that he get things in place in time, you know?
The way it's fallen though with the World Cup, I think it's a fantastic opportunity. Like, there's a break there. It's like the season is over and a new season is just starting.
I suppose that's
the way I see it. And if you're kind of looking at the table, it's like a new season. So and he has a couple of weeks to work with some of the players that won't be involved in with their respective teams in the World Cup. So yes, the tough games coming up, and you know, so he will have a bit of a chest to spend in January. You're saying 100 million, is it?
Yeah. That's a Dolly Parton of a chest, that is.
That's huge as well. But the only fear I have, again, I don't think with the quality of players we're going to get out of this mess, but who are the teams that are going to get relegated? The problem is they're picking up points. So we are playing a bit of catch-up already. That's, you know, the way it is. But I think those 4 weeks, you know, he'll get a lot done and we'll hit the ground, you know. If we can go two or three games unbeaten, even if it's a draw, away in a draw, you know, it gets a bit of fucking confidence going. And just start, like, a win or two just would move us out of there. That's why if we won against Brentford and Brighton, God, Jesus, you know, it looked totally different.
Half the problem would be solved, Right.
There's a good chance we'll be bottom of the table the weekend, you know. So unless we can pull something against Arsenal. I don't think Arsenal, I'm shocked where they are on the table, to be honest about it. It'd be great to bring them down to earth.
Not as shocked as we are for where we are on the table. But anyway, listen, lads, great talking to you. We're time is against us now at this stage. So I'm hoping next week after the Arsenal game we'll have something good to talk about, and we'll probably be able to talk a bit more about the new manager and his plans then for January. So it's been good chatting, lads. And
all right, we'll win on good thing you the weekend, lads. Yeah, and
we've Wednesday before that. We've the game on Wednesday before all that. So we'll be Mick.
Excellent.
And Ryanair are telling us, by the way, check in tonight for Wednesday. You know, with the system is down tomorrow evening.
Just
to try and get money out of you, because you can check in tomorrow morning for free. Good luck, lads, and see you. Take care.
Thanks, Tony. See you, lads.
Right.
Okay, take care. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website, or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.